I ran into a friend yesterday, which doesn't happen often because I don't have many of them. And the friend just started talking and talking and talking. It was one of my verbal diarrhea friends. It just talks and talks and talks, loves to hear himself talk. And he muttered a phrase to me in the middle of his big talking thing. And the phrase was, to make a long story short, that's when I knew it was going to be a long story.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
So, to make a long story short, I...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the,
back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. Hi, how are you? I sometimes feel guilty that I just sit here and talk and talk and talk and talk. I feel like I'm talking at you, and I don't want to be one of those people. So I decided right now, this portion of the program, or portion of the program, whatever your incorrect speech pattern may be, I'm going to engage in conversation with you. We're going to have a conversation. Now, I know that's virtually impossible because I can't hear you, which is good for me. Good for me. But I am going to attempt to engage in a conversation with you anyway. Now, I want you to tell me what you did yesterday, and we're going to do this in a conversational manner because I believe that the art of conversation has been lost greatly because of the onset of smartphones and laptops and internet. People don't talk to each other anymore. Personally, that's great because I don't like hearing people talk anyway. I always thought that was an imposition upon my life. But nonetheless, socially, it's probably not great for you. So in order to, I don't want this show to be just someone talking at you. So we're going to have a conversation. I'm going to ask you questions as if I'm interested in you. It's a phony thing, but that's what you do. And we're going to have a conversation. I will leave space for you to respond to me. So, and if you talk clearly, I might be able to hear you through the speakers of whatever you're listening to this through. Okay, here we go. Hello, how are you? Okay, now you respond, say fine or something like that. Okay, hi, how are you? Okay, all right, well, good to know. Hey, what did you do yesterday? Anything interesting? Well, tell me about it. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, really? Seriously? Oh, you got to be kidding me. That's great. Oh, that's horrible. I'm sorry. Oh, I see. Really? Oh, really? Wow. That's incredible. I can't believe. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Ooh. 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 Uh-huh. Well, I just... Yeah. Wow. Well, that's very, very interesting. That's very, very interesting. I'm glad I asked. Great. Great to talk to you. See, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That doesn't work at all. I don't even know what you said or if you said anything at all or if you're just listening to me make comments. I don't know. So that part doesn't work. So here's the deal. I'm going to talk and you shut up.
Please be quiet.
Please
be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
All right, I'm going to tell you a funny story that happened to me yesterday.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
So yesterday, I decided to go... Fade music out, please. Yesterday, I decided to go to lunch by myself, which is my favorite company. And I go to this kind of nice place. I had gotten a gift certificate card as a holiday gift, and I decided to use it yesterday because I wanted to. That's how I decide what things happen in my life, because I wanted to do it. By the way, my New Year's resolution for 2000, whatever it's going to be, I can't remember the year, it's going so quickly. My resolution is, I have not put up with crap for decades and decades. Now I'm really not. I'm not going to be listening to anything politically. I don't care about what happens internationally or nationally around me. I am not going to bow down and kiss the ring of the dictator elect in this country. I have decided that I shall perform within my own realm and my own aura, and I will not go out of my way to be pickly and prickly and sickly. I shall do what I want when I want to do it without hurting other people. That's my New Year's resolution. I've lived this resolution throughout my entire life quite successfully. As a matter of fact, if you are a friend of mine, you must be special because I don't put up with anything like that. If we have one bad conversation, you can be sure we're not going to be having any more conversations at all. My choice, my life, you know, that's that. Anyway, that's my New Year's resolution. So I'm sitting in a restaurant and I'm having my gift card lunch. And I'm sitting at the bar because when you're eating lunch by yourself, you don't sit at a table because then you look like a poo-poo idiot. You sit at the bar. You know, you grow some and you sit at the bar. Even if you're going to order a Coke with your meal, you still sit at the bar. You don't sit at a table by yourself. Unless you have a laptop, then you're not by yourself. You're with the entire community. So I'm sitting at the bar, and this guy is in a business suit, and he's talking to this young lady who is dressed up as well. I assume that she's a business associate, because it's not romantic. They're talking business. There's a laptop in front of them the whole bit, and they're talking quite intensely. The bartender or woman brings over the lunch that they had just ordered. It's ready. She brings it over to them. He ordered a large freaking hamburger. I've never seen a hamburger so it looked really, really tasty. It was that bun thing, you know, the thing they put hamburgers in, buns. You familiar with those things? It was nice, a nice bun though. It was, you know, with the little toasty top thing, you know, it looked really nice. And stuff oozing out of the bun and some fries. It looked really, really tasty, you know. And I was thinking, well, I'm gonna get one of those. That looks really, really good. I can't do a hamburger like that at home. That is really look good. And she orders some type of a salad, you know, because, you know, that's what women do. You never see a woman sitting at a table eating a large hamburger or a prime rib or something like it. It's always, I'll have the salad. I'll have the chicken cob salad, please. And I'm not making fun of you. Actually, I'm complimenting you because you are more health conscious. You're more conscious about the way you look, about your weight, about your figure, about your health. And you order accordingly, especially for lunch. Guys don't care about that crap. They don't care. But women do. So it's always a salad of some. I have this salad with salmon, please. I have the salad, the chicken cob salad, please. I'll have the salad, please. Very, very nice. But I was not in the mood for a salad because I had a gift card, you see. So I'm sitting there and I'm trying to figure out what I want. And I order a beverage, a cocktail. Well, you know, I'm celebrating my gift card. And I'm watching these two people. What I love to do when I go to restaurants is I love to watch other people. I can get into their lives. I can overhear things. It's like being a voyeur without, you know, watching them have sex. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, wow, what are other people's lives like? I know what my life is like because I've been doing it for quite some time now. But I don't know if other people have similar lives. What kind of problems, what kind of interactions do they have? How normal are they? How abnormal am I? I'm fascinated by it. Sometimes I will sit in the park on a nice summer day and I'll just sit on the bench and I'll just watch people sitting on the bench opposite me and I'll just watch them. I'll watch their body language. I'll overhear what they're saying. I'll see if they're joyous or sad or concerned or lighthearted. I can tell so much about them. I can tell if they're frivolous, wonderful people or if they're serious, horrible, horrible people. Do they like animals? You can, if an animal walks by, a dog walks by, well, do they look at the dog and go, oh. I mean, you can tell a lot about people by just watching them sit on a bench and interact with the world. That's what I do at restaurants, especially at bars. I'm watching people. I'm watching you. I'm watching you. I'm interested in what kind of life you probably lead in a very superficial sense. So these two people are having conversation. She picks up her fork and starts eating her chicken cob salad. And not zestfully, but at a normal, respectable human being pace. You know, not too fast, not too slow. No lettuce dripping off of her chin or anything. Very polite. She looks like a very together, professional person who is conscious of her surroundings, how she eats. She looks just like really, really business normal. Now, I don't know if that's normal or not, but that's what she looks like. He, on the other hand, is sitting there. He's got his fork in his hand. He's got his napkin on his lap, but he won't touch his food. And I'm saying to myself, if you're not going to eat that, I want your food. How dare you order food, put it in front of you, and completely ignore it? Now, she's eating, but he's not. And I'm thinking, are you not hungry? How can you be sitting in front of this gorgeous-looking hamburger? I mean, I'm talking about, it's a gorgeous, it's like a pretzel bun kind of thing. It's just a beautiful, beautiful hamburger. But he won't pay any attention to it whatsoever. There's also a pile of French fries next to it, and they look pretty good. They're sweet potato fries, which is a little bit of a twist on the fried, on the French fries. A nice little twist. He won't even pick up one fry. Not at all. He just keeps talking and talking and talking, and he's got his fork in his hand. He's ready to eat, but he won't do it. Now this is starting to piss me off big time. I can't concentrate anymore. I'm watching him eat the food. Damn it, eat the food. There are people starving, probably just outside the building. There are people starving who don't know where their next meal is going to come from. They can't feed their kids. There are people in Africa. I don't know them personally, but there are people. They wait for bags of grain to drop from the sky, and they haven't eaten in years. And then they look up to the helicopters dropping the bags of grain, saying, "What the fuck am I supposed to do with this stuff? What am I, a chef? What am I supposed to bake bread? I haven't eaten in years. You think I got a full kitchen there with a kitchen island? What are you dropping me grain for? Drop me a sandwich. How about that? Drop me a bologna. Something, man. Something I can eat. A bag of grain? What, are you serious? What the hell am I supposed to do with this thing? There are people starving, man. Take your fork and put it on a fry and eat one fry at least. Seriously, eat something. About 5-6 minutes tick away. And when you're watching somebody like this, 5 or 6 minutes can seem like a lifetime. Or a Lifetime movie, which seems like a lifetime. Do you ever watch a Lifetime movie? I'll raise my hand. I've watched a Lifetime movie. Here's the Lifetime movie. It's 2 hours long with commercials. For 1 hour and 55 minutes, nothing happens. It's the setup. For 1 hour and 55 minutes, it's a woman walking around. She's in some kind of danger. Nothing happens to her yet, but she's in some kind of danger. And it builds, and she's in even a little bit more danger. And then you get to almost 2 hours, 1 hour and 55 minutes of watching this thing. And then the woman is finally in danger. She turns around, kicks the crap out of the guy who's accosting her somehow, and then the police show up. The entire two-hour movie, the only exciting part takes place for about 1.5 minutes at the very end. That's a Lifetime movie, and every single one of them are exactly the same. It's always a woman in peril who at the very end, just before the credits roll, just before, empowers herself and overcomes the threat, and that's the movie. And they come up with like 5,000 different scenarios that have the exact same formula to them. That's your Lifetime movie. Anyway, I digress. So now about 10 minutes has practically passed by. The woman has finished her salad. I haven't even ordered yet because I am so intensely involved with these two people sitting at the bar. And I loathe this man. I'm starting to hate him. His smugness, his arrogance, his ability not to eat this incredible food that has been placed before him, which he's going to pay for, but he's not consuming. And then, after about 10 minutes, he puts his fork down, takes his right hand, and caresses the bun as if he's going to pick it up and finally eat this thing. She's finished. She has finished her entire meal. He hasn't touched his at all. He just keeps talking and talking. He has no interest in the food placed in front of him. He takes his hand, surrounds his fingers upon the bun, lifts the bun up with the hamburger in it, and I'm thinking, finally, finally. And he brings the bun to his mouth. He's still talking to this woman. But at the last second, he ditches it. He puts the bun down, he puts the hamburger down, and continues to talk. Oh, we came so close. That was supposed to be the end of that Lifetime movie, but no, he extended the film. He still hasn't had any of it. At about 12 minutes, and I'm serious, man, at about 12 minutes into this lunch, she's finished. The waitress comes over, and she says to the woman, the bartender lady, she says to the woman sitting there, she says, would you like anything else? And she says, no. And then the bartender woman very properly says to the guy, would you like me to wrap up your lunch to bring so you can bring it home? He looks at her, and he says, no, that's okay. No, that's okay. He's had one sweet potato fry in 15 minutes. He hasn't touched a hamburger. He hasn't touched the rest of the sweet fry. I'm so pissed. This is when I spring into action. He takes out his credit card, signs it, gets up, closes his laptop. She gets up, grabs her purse. They walk out. His entire meal, of which he's consumed one sweet potato fry, and that's it, is still sitting on the counter. I'm enjoying my cocktail, but not enjoying my experience. This is a true story, by the way. I don't make things up unless I have to, which I do frequently. The bartender woman comes over to me and she says, "Well, have you decided what you'd like to order for lunch?" And I look at her, and I look at this plate just sitting on the counter about 3-4 stools away from me. And I say, "Well, he didn't eat his lunch. I'll eat it." And she turns to me, the bartender lady, and she laughs. She laughs. And she walks away. But I wasn't kidding. What a crime. If there was punishment for a crime of ordering food and not eating it and then leaving it there, I would say that's punishable by death. But not any kind of death. A slow, horrible death.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
I'm telling you, man, that was ridiculous.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, winner of every international and global podcasting award Ron has given himself. He writes them in crayon, on construction paper. It's actually kind of cute.
We have a couple of guests coming up a little bit later in the program. Andrew Krasny is going to join us. He's a TV host. He's going to talk about some cool gadgets, man. I like gadgets. Gadgets are fun. You want to speak to Andrew now? Shall we? Should we? Shall we?
Good morning, Ron.
How you doing there, Andrew?
I'm good. Nice to talk to you.
You too. Andrew Krasny is TV host and consumer trends expert. And we're going to talk about how smart we can be when it comes to making this the year of the shopper. I guess every year is more of the year of the shopper these days.
Well, listen, we got to be really diligent when we're spending our hard-earned money. I'm a big fan of doing research and making sure that we know what we're doing. Ron, but listen, before we get into tips, we got to come up with a spending game plan to avoid that holiday hangover in January. I've had it. I don't know about you. Have you had that holiday hangover before?
I have every kind of hangover.
Well, listen, 40% of us, 40% of Americans feel pressure to spend more than they can afford to spend during the holiday season.
Yeah.
So through its On Up movement, SunTrust Bank is offering tips and tools to help Americans really enjoy the moments that matter most by reducing financial stress. I'm a big proponent of reducing as much stress in my life as possible, and SunTrust has hit a home run. OnUp.com/holiday, and you can create a game plan for guilt-free shopping. You've got great guides on there, spending calculators, holiday guides, you name it. It's just a really great way to start teaching you and your loved ones how to plan responsibly when it comes to your finances.
All right. Well, let's get started here. You know, it used to be I had to put my clothes on and drive down to a store and walk around and spend the time, and then I would spend my money in a shop. Now I can sit on my butt in front of a computer screen and spend all kinds of money without even doing anything but lifting a finger. And I, as wonderful as that is, it can be quite dangerous, I guess.
Well, listen, I think what we have to do is be sure to use the internet for research and don't use it just as an easy way out to spend. Use it as a tool to find the greatest prices, and don't forget to throw love to your local retailers. I'm a big brick-and-mortar fan.
Yes.
Just just empower yourself with what's right to spend on products, and I think you'll start finding a lot of retailers who are responsibly pricing and want your business. So don't use the internet as a lazy way, but use it as a powerful tool. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, there are over, I think it's 11 years, it's over 11 years old on the age of an average car in America. Mm-hmm. 250 million cars on the road, so a lot of them don't have modern tech features like Bluetooth, hands-free calling, right. Texting, dash cam, advanced GPS. So wait till you see this. The Overdrive 7 is a revolutionary connected car device that brings advanced luxury car technology to any car that you're driving, Ron. It's a 7-inch wow. tablet that connects easily to your dashboard.
Wow.
It maximizes a driver's capabilities and minimizes distractions. So instantly, in an older car, which we want to give our kids and keep in the family, you've got hands-free calling, texting, podcasting, audiobooks, advanced GPS from Rand McNally. And the best part about, well, there's a million things that are great about the Overdrive 7. You can take it out of the car and it functions wow. fully as a tablet on its own, and that's $399 exclusively at
that's
Best Buy.
Not bad. You know, Andrew, that's kind of better than even the new car models have technology-wise.
Well, I think so. Look, it's got the dash cam, which is really coming
yeah.
in handy for insurance purposes. If someone claims that you hit them and you didn't, you've got it all on
yeah.
tape. But you can add on cool things like a rear-view backup camera, a tire pressure monitor for
wow.
about $130, $140
wow.
extra. Pretty cool gadget.
Nice to know. I didn't know they had that. Okay, let's move on.
All right, moving on. Grooming gifts, always in style. The latest from Wahl, we've all heard of Wahl, right? Well,
yeah.
the reason why we have is because of how great their products are and how trusted they are.
Uh-huh.
The Lithium Ion Plus Trimmer, the Elite Pro Clipper, powerful motors, precision ground blades for a smooth, even cut. That's a great gift idea for under $70, and that's available at retailers nationwide. Guys like to groom, whether we admit it or not.
It's at some place on the body we do, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Shoulders and up. Shoulders and up is what
shoulders.
I'm talking about today, Ron.
I'm so sorry. Okay.
Hey, Ron, you know, it's always invigorating to find the perfect gift for someone while staying within your budget.
Yes,
and
sir.
There's a great new place that I found online called 7thAvenue.com that has those really kind of unique gifts that are totally affordable, so you can effectively impress who you're shopping for without breaking the bank.
Okay. So what kind of stuff do they have?
You name it. I've got in front of me now really cool pieces of jewelry, headsets for talking, great watches, great things for if you've got people in your life. I know my mom and dad are getting up there, and there are a lot of really cool gifts for people over the age of 70.
Great.
Really fun gifts for gifts of all ages, really responsible shopping. And what I love that their buyers that they have, and I haven't met any of them, but their buyers are out there scouring the planet to find unique gifts that aren't typical. It's all about shopping recipient smart, Ron.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is when we're spending our money, I think we're programmed genetically to think, wait, I'm spending my money, I have to agree with what I'm buying. But that's not always the case. If I'm shopping for somebody, I got to think about what do they like? What do they want to do? What will make them
yeah.
happy? And then suddenly it becomes more of a selfless act.
Well, that's when the recipient really says, oh, you really were listening to me. You really get me because you did give them something that really does reflect what they are or what they desire, what they enjoy. And that's really what matters, I guess.
Right. That is what matters. And I think also, it's about empowering the people that you love. That's why I love what the folks over at SunTrust are doing with their onup.com is that I'm not asking you to go there and buy a product. I'm asking you to go there to figure out how to plan for your financial future so you can start teaching kids that spending $6 a day on a cappuccino is not the way to go, that if you start putting money away every week, can you imagine? Ron, I'm sure you're a lot younger than me, but can you imagine when we were kids, if we thought about putting away $5 or $6 a week? Where we'd be today?
When I was a kid, when I did put $5 or $6 away, it did make a difference. Unfortunately, the interest rates aren't that high, but it does make a difference even now. And that kind of planning is very important because it's part of your mental security to know that that you know what you're doing. It's very tricky during this holiday season because you're in so much of the mood and so you're so soaked into it that you start spending without thinking. So this is a good thing to know.
Yeah, you got to be financially responsible, and especially during the holiday season, this is totally, you're going to think I'm crazy for bringing this up, but when you go to bed at night, don't watch the news.
I don't.
Watch things that make you laugh.
Yes.
Watch old reruns of The Golden Girls or Family Matters or Family Ties, and all those shows that cheered us
Correct.
Up 20 or 30 years ago when you go to sleep, and you'll see what Correct. A difference that makes when you wake up in the morning. I'm telling you. It's all about remaining stress-free.
Wow. Hey, you go beyond finances. You get into the brain. Okay.
I got a little left of mine, so I might as well. Hey, betterstuffforlife.com if you want to find out what we talked about today,
yep.
Ron. And my website is thetrendchaser.com.
There you go. He's Andrew Kranze. Thanks to you so much for your time today.
Hey, my pleasure. Happy holidays, Ron.
Take care. Same to you.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Rachel DeBarros is the gearhead diva. Isn't it hot when a woman does automotive things? That's hot. A woman mechanic, little grease on the face. Oh, that's hot. Rachel is an auto expert and the gearhead diva. That's hot. Now, for me, when you switch roles and there's a guy who likes to walk around in high heels and is the high heel expert, that's not hot. And I don't believe that most women would find that hot either. I think even women, even if you're a lesbian, would find the concept of a female auto mechanic gearhead woman to be hot. But a guy who is a high heel expert, not so much. So not everything is equal in our lives. I have no idea what I'm talking about either. Let's speak to Rachel. Hi, Rachel. How are you? Hey, Rachel. Rachel DeBarros joins us. She is an automotive expert, gearhead diva, and she joins us now to talk about playing it safe during the winter.
Definitely. There are so many cars on the road right now, especially with your holiday season, and not only that, people are starting to think about hitting those ski slopes. So even if you don't live in, you know, wintry area, which is definitely not your case,
no.
There's definitely people traveling out to hit those slopes. So you definitely want to make sure that your car is in tip-top condition to get you to your destination, because really that's the last thing you want to worry about, in terms of the weather. I mean, you got enough to worry about there.
Oh, sometimes I just won't go if the weather is bad enough, because I don't believe that my automobile can get me there safely. So I do want to avoid that. So what's the first step that I should be looking at?
Well, one way to really keep it simple is I like to start from the ground up. So the first thing you really think about is tires, because they're really the only component that touch the ground. So if you have a handy penny available, just go outside, and the first thing I like to check is just your overall tire wear. So take a penny and stick it in one of the tire tread grooves with Lincoln's head facing down, like he's taking a big old nap right in the tire tread.
In my tire.
And if you see all of his head, well, then it's time for new tires. And one website I like to use, because it's super easy, is yokohamatire.com. So you take those tire specs that are right on the sidewall of your tire, enter it in there, and they'll spit out all the tires that are perfectly sized to fit your vehicle. So let's say that Lincoln's head does get cut off, you know, like he's laying in some tread pillows,
yep.
And you think you're good to go. Well, you're not out of the woods yet, because another major thing that's affected, and a lot of us notice it, is tire pressure. your tires always look a little bit low, yeah. Because tire pressure does definitely decrease with temperature. And so while you're checking tread depth every month, it's a good idea to keep a tire pressure gauge in your glove compartment, in your center console, and whip that out and check it at the same time and fill it up. Because when you start losing that tire pressure, not only are you losing traction, but you're also taking a hit with your fuel economy. So I'd rather use those dollars for holiday shopping rather than at the pump.
Yeah, let me ask you a quick question here. I mean, a lot of the newer cars do have the tire pressure in the console itself. It reads it, you know, through the computer. But tire-wise, if I have front-wheel drive and I change my front tires, I have to look at the back ones too, don't I? I mean, just like all four tires have to be good.
It's important to keep all four tires good. It doesn't matter if you're front-wheel drive. Yeah. A lot of people think, well, front-wheel versus rear-wheel, of course, and then you have your all-wheel and your four-wheel. That doesn't really matter in ice and when you have to stop in icy conditions,
right,
because your tire pressure actually affects your contact patch.
Oh.
This is the area of the tire that touches the ground, and when your tire is deflated, you're actually decreasing your contact patch.
Oh, okay.
So it affects all four wheels.
Okay. All right, let's move on to some other tips.
Sure. So we've got the ground covered, and so now let's move under the hood. And starting under the hood, make sure all your fluids are topped off. Now, if you've kept up with your general maintenance schedule, you should be pretty much good to go in this area. But coolant is very important. Now is the time to do it because they run all the specials. You probably see the signs now popping up for coolant flushes. And then after that, check all your rubber components, like the hoses going into your radiator. There's one on the top and one on the bottom. Your serpentine belt, check that for cracks, because now is a good time to take care of it. They're really inexpensive components to fix versus letting your engine overheat, and now you've just added substantially to your bill.
Okay.
Also under the hood, really important to check your battery, because your battery has to work a lot harder in the winter to crank. So batteries only last about 4 to 5 years. So
oh.
If you think you've hit that 3-year mark, now's a good time to check it, make sure it's charged, because batteries are kind of sneaky, fellows. I mean,
yeah,
they don't really give you a lot of warning. You wake up in the morning, you're trying to get to work, or you got done some holiday shopping, and your car just doesn't start.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely take care of that now. And then, I don't know about you, but I've definitely been caught off guard where you hit that first major winter storm, and you're on the highway driving home, and you run out of windshield wiper fluid.
Yeah.
Just been cleaning it the whole time, so definitely make sure that that is topped off. You definitely don't want to be driving Ace Ventura style with your head out the window in that freezing weather, because your windshield is just completely gunked up. And related to that is your windshield wiper blades. I actually like to change them in the winter, because then you know they're brand new for the worst time of year, rather than changing them in the summer. So if you change them in the winter, you're pretty much good to go, and they only last a year. So it's kind of nice to keep that in your head when winter's coming. This is really when I like to do a lot of my preventative maintenance.
Yeah.
And then,
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, a lot of it is preventative. We always wait until the things go bad before we replace it. So we're always in a spot when we have to go for something, replace the blades or do the tires. We always wait till the last minute, and then you're screwed.
Yeah, and not only that, everyone has the same mindset. So not only are you hitting the local auto parts store, everyone else is in the middle of all that holiday rush. So I like to just square that away from the get-go.
Good. Get-go. Okay. All right. Any other tips you got?
Sure. So after the underhood, I like to move inside. And now this might sound a little bit obvious, but I like to swap out my carpet mats for rubber mats, because all that salt is extremely corrosive for your carpet, and good luck getting that out when spring comes around.
Yeah.
Not only that, should you get stuck or plowed in, now you're having to dig yourself out, and now your wheels are spinning, you can always dig out some of the snow and use those floor mats. Take them out from inside your car and put them under your tire, and that's going to give you that additional traction you need to get out of that situation. So you just kind of channel your inner MacGyver for that one.
Inner MacGyver.
So it's a dual purpose bonus use there.
All right.
And then after that, you know, if you're traveling, you know, for Boston and a lot of these metropolitan cities, you don't really worry about getting stuck. There's always someone that you can call or an Uber service. But if you're traveling cross country, you're going to hit some rural areas. So I always tell people, keep an emergency kit in your car. So roadside assistance type of materials, flares, barriers, and then first aid. And if you're traveling with pets, keep additional water and snacks for them, snacks for yourself, and warm blankets.
Okay. Well, we're running short of time. Where can we get more information?
So for more information, I like to check out yokohamatire.com/tire101. So there you can get a variety of information, not just tires, but helpful diagrams and overall car care health.
Okay. Rachel, thank you so much for all the information. She's the Gearhead Diva and the automotive expert. Go to her when you have some questions and some concerns, and you just want to learn more about you and your automobile, that fine relationship that we all enjoy. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, and that gets you a podcasting high five.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a regular high five, but no one knows that you did it or cares or anything, really.
I get that. That's funny. I get that, actually. I'm sorry, making myself laugh. I don't know. I have no idea anymore. I really don't. I have no idea. It's like I have to be told. I know what winterizing my car is. I guess. Make sure that's summarizing your car, too. I don't think I'm driving a car anymore. I think I'm driving a computer. I feel like that sometimes. The fact that you turn the car on, you put it in drive, it moves forward. If you put it in R, it goes backwards. And then when you want it to stop, you put it in P for stop. And then you turn the car off. That's kind of the same. Nothing going on there. But all the junk around it is I'm driving a computer. The car tells me when there's a car coming up behind me. The car tells me when I'm backing up and I'm getting too close to something behind me. The car tells me when it's raining. The car tells me when it's on fire, when the tires are low. The car suggests things. It plays all kinds of music from I don't know where it gets it from Nazi Germany. I have no idea where this stuff is coming from. I'm being navigated. It's telling me what street I'm on, which direction I'm going in. Some cars tell you what the weather is. Tells you what the traffic is. Sometimes it tells me if I'm in traffic. It tells me how to go somewhere. It tells me how to go home. Tells me the shortest route, how long it's going to take me to get there. The car tells me tons of things. It's like a smartphone. My smartphone tells me everything there is to know. It tells me the weather, how to get someplace. It answers all questions for me, what times the movies start. It is a computer within itself. It measures my heartbeat, how many steps I've taken. It tells me what people are trying to contact me through email, if they're sending me a message or not. I can put myself on a camera and speak to somebody in Brazil and see what they're doing at their chalet. I mean, the damn phone does. I can write things. I can take pictures. I can edit pictures. I can take videos. I can listen to music. I can download music. I can make music. I can talk into it. I can do everything. And did you know it also makes phone calls? Who knew? Yes, my smartphone can actually call somebody on a phone. The technology is incredible. Well, that's it for me today. Hope you have a wonderful day. I do wish you peace. Join me again tomorrow. Will you do that? Okay, now that's when you say yes or no. Oh, okay.